Good morning. Morning. Feels like I've been gone forever, right? It's been 2 weeks since I've been in front of you preaching God's word, and that feels like a really long time for me, but praise God that we have incredible pastors on our staff that deliver the word with power and with passion, and I just so appreciate them for doing that, and we were all truly blessed. We're continuing on in our Sermon on the Mount series, so if you got your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 5, and as you're doing that, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, you might want to also have a finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, so that's Matthew chapter 5, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, it's my privilege to get to honor all of our new members, and it seems like every week we're having new people coming and saying, we want to join with Bethany in what God is doing here. Now, this guy, if he's here, Zach Boyard, if you're here, I'm not sure if he's here because I know he wasn't feeling well, plus his wife has gone to ski camp, and so let's face it, our wives take care of us, right, guys? Get us to right places on time. So I didn't see Zach this morning. Zach, are you here? Nope. Okay, I'm going to save. Zach, come on, buddy. I am so impressed, man. Awesome. Come up here. Stand in the light. So this is Zach. He's a big fellow, incredible heart, servant of God. I just love him to death. Not only that, is we've started working out a little bit together, and I am always sore and hurting afterwards. So it's a good thing. Man, hey, congratulations on this huge step. I am so proud to not only be your brother in Christ, but be serving together here at Bethlehem Church. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for this man who has an absolute heart for you, a heart for service. God, he's always serving here at the church. Lord Jesus, he and Grace are just a blessing to us. I thank you that he has made this huge step to commit here to serve you at Bethany and bring glory to your name here. Father God, again, I just praise you for my brother's heart and who he is. Lord Jesus, I pray that I would be able to invest into his life, God, as he is so invested into mine. God, I praise you for Zach. Amen. God bless you, brother. Awesome. Let's give him a hand. Oh, we got two more coming next service. I'm telling you, God is so good. Salvations, people joined in the church, and man, we are just getting started. God is so good and so faithful. As we're getting ready to start, though, I want to kind of have a point of differentiation here. Okay, so sometimes you have sermons that are cake, right? That are cakes. They taste so good going down, right? But they're at best kind of neutral for us. There's things that happen. Then there's those sermons, right, that are like carrot sermons, right? They may not taste as good, but oh my goodness, they're good for us, right? And being that they're carrots, they're supposedly good for our eyesight. So let me go ahead and tell you guys, the sermon today is not a cake sermon. It's very much a carrot sermon. It's not going to taste as good necessarily to the ears, but it's going to help us. It's going to help our spiritual sight to understand what God wants for our life. This is very much a carrot sermon. So I just encourage you, listen. Even if your toes get stepped on a little bit, even if you get punched in the gut a little bit, give it some time. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. Let it marinate and think about these things. Don't just make a decision right here, right now, in absolute certainty, but allow this to marinate on you in this service. And if you need to, take it with you and think about it and pray over it this week. Because for some of you, this may be a little bit of a different kind of teaching for you. So let me give you about three statements here. I'm going to have one or two of them here on the slides, but I'm going to give you three statements that I want to be kind of rolling around in your head as we go through this message today. So here we go. Generous giving is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus and your hunger to be like him. That is, having a growing righteous character. Generous giving is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus and your hunger to be like him, having a growing righteous character. If you love to write things down, and I'm going to be giving you a lot, and if you need to, keep in mind you can pull your cell phone out and take pictures of these things. Okay, I've done that too. It's helpful. That way you can write it down later. This also correlates with his glory and his worship as we give generously. Now hear this hard statement. You will never be who you could be in Christ, righteous and used by him, until you trust Christ with your future rather than trusting your money for your future as seen by your handling of it. And already some of you are thinking, I don't like this guy. If you're new, you're like, what did I walk into? I'm gonna read that again. You will never be who you could be in Christ, righteous and used by him, until you trust Christ with your future, until you trust Christ with your future, rather than trusting your money for your future as seen by your handling of it. Last statement. We will never reach our full potential of spirituality or sanctification without giving and being generous. We will never be like Jesus without sacrifice. We will never be like Jesus without sacrifice. Wow. Boy, if that doesn't set the stage, right? I don't know what will. I tell you what, let's stand in honor of reading God's word. So if you would stand with me if you're able. And we're going to read, starting in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And then I will go down and read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 and 6, 19 through 24. We will take our time. You won't miss anything, okay? Here we go. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. I'm going to read it again just because it's so darn good. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Look on down or turn your page to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Just a few more verses. Look down in verses 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Boy, you need to memorize that one. I've memorized that and I need to tell it to myself every week. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Hear this. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Father, thank you for your scripture, for its training, for its teaching, for it's bringing us closer to you in a relationship, Lord Jesus, and for it to make us more like you, Father. Lord, we honor the reading of your word, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to transform us through the teaching of this word. God, may we walk out of here changed and with a desire and a hunger for righteousness, Lord Jesus, as it applies to our generous giving. Father, work on our hearts. Amen. Have a seat. All right, so let's look at this passage, and I'm kind of calling this a control passage or our beatitude passage, okay? And we've been working off of this verse for the last 2 weeks as we've opened up the series. So here again is that verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Another translation, the New King James Version, says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, quickly, I want to talk about two types of righteousness that can be understood here. There's the imputed or perfect righteousness, in which we are mostly passive in or completely passive, and righteousness through sanctification, which is an imperfect situation in which we are active. Now, remember the timing. I'm going to give you some definitions in a minute, but remember the timing of when Christ said this. This is pre-cross. This is pre-church age. And so he's speaking to this hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So this could have to do with that imputed righteousness that God gives us and for which we are largely passive for. Now here's a definition. Okay, now if you've got your big, thick Huell Dictionary of Theology or something like that, this is not going to be as fancy as that definition. This is a definition that help simple folk like me understand it to the best degree that I can. So here is this idea of an imputed, a given to us by God righteousness, because remember, this is pre-cross. So Christ going to the cross, forgiving of our sins, and this holiness that he makes available to us as we thirst after righteousness, the righteousness that only he can give us. So here's that definition. The imputed righteousness of Christ is the process where at salvation, at the individual's decision to follow Christ, the believer is given the righteous standing of Jesus Christ before God, where we are clothed with or given Christ's perfectness before God. So he's telling them, listen, hunger and thirst for righteousness and you'll be filled. In other words, from one sense or in one sense, he could be talking about the imputed righteousness of Christ, so that after he's died on the cross and our sins have been forgiven and we accept him, we do have a righteous standing before God. That's an imputed righteousness in which we are largely passive. It's what God does. But there's another sense here in which there is this sanctification, right? This desire for us to be holy or righteous that we are active in, that we should be striving for, okay? Even though we do so imperfectly. Now, this process of sanctification or the righteousness there is the process whereby the believer, now hear this correctly, it's the process whereby the believer, under the power of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Holy Scripture, seeks to become more like Jesus in character and set apart for his purposes. Paul likes to say it this way. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord, and this is important, from a pure heart. This cleansing, this desire, this wanting to put away dishonorable things, this is not legalism. This is something that needs to be done through this purity of heart by which we want to be used by God and to be righteous. Motive is important. Yes, still with me? I know it's a lot, and I've got a lot to get to today. There's a book I read about every 3 years. About every 3 years. I highly recommend this book to you. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. It's a little bit of an older work. It's not very big. It's pretty thin, but it is powerful in its conviction. This is a quote from The Pursuit of Holiness. God has not called us to be like those around us. He has called us to be like himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. God has made provision for our holiness. Through Christ, he has delivered us from sin's reign so that we can now resist sin. But the responsibility for resisting is ours. God does not do that for us. To confuse the potential for resisting, which God has provided, with the responsibility for resisting, which is ours, is to court disaster in our pursuit of holiness. We should want to, from our heart, desire to be like Jesus, to honor him in our activities, in the pursuit of righteousness. You could say hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Yeah, I think we get that first part. But do not ever in this verse run from the second part or skip over the second part. Now we understand a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness, but wow, I want you to hear the power of the promise, okay? So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hear this. For they shall be filled. In regards to imputed righteousness, when we accept Christ as Savior, boom, we are filled. We have his righteousness. It's awesome. And for those who are seeking it, for those who have come to Christ and were seeking sanctification, listen, if you desire it, if you are faithful through the power of God, through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and through the direction of the Bible, you will achieve it. Not perfectly, but you will achieve it to the degree that he can use you in your life. That's amazing. that the God creator of the universe wants to use you and will use you. This is a promise. This is not, hey, seek and hunger and do all of this and maybe you'll be satisfied or maybe you'll be filled. No, you will be. You will be used. You will be satisfied. You will be able to be used for his kingdom. It reminds me when you talk about this desire, this hunger and thirst, particularly on the thirst part. I grew up in Alabama and it's pretty hot, pretty humid down there, and we'd be in 2 days in football practice, right? And coach says, hey, if you run these last sprints hard, or if you do this bear crawl hard, right, these 100 yards, all this kind of stuff, I'm gonna let you get water. Now, keep in mind the water in those days was simply a garden hose strung up on a fence with a bunch of holes in it. You turn the little spigot faucet and water shoots out of these holes, and you got a bunch of dudes over there just trying to drink in all this water all over your head and all this kind of stuff, pouring it down your pads, all of that. But on that moment or in that occasion, man, all I wanted was that water hose. Because it was hot, I was hungering, I was thirsting for it. And the coach promised it, and I received it. And although it probably looked funny, probably looked like a bunch of animals out there, it was so rewarding. And what about the soldier who's told, listen, this is it, this is the last mission. You come back here and you're going home. Oh my goodness, there's nothing that's keeping that soldier from giving everything he's got to get back home because there's a promise there. Listen, you have the promise of God that if you'll hunger this, if you'll seek after this, then you will be filled. Hunger and seeking after righteousness. So that is our control passage as we get down into application passage. How do we apply some of this to our life today, particularly in regards to giving? So here's where I want you to look down at Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 again, and we're going to walk through this. So again, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they receive their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now watch the connection here. This is saying practicing your righteousness. We've just been told to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and here comes the application of it. And so here we see the practical application of righteousness, something we should be doing. And right off the bat, what we see here is that giving or being generous is a righteous activity. Giving or being generous is a righteous activity. In this case, it's to the needy through the temple, the house of worship, the synagogue, or even in the streets. And not only is it a righteous activity, but it is a assumed upon righteous activity. If you look there in verse 2, it says, when you give, not if you give. Wow. He says, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you'll be filled, right? You want this, do this. Here we're talking about the practical application, right? Because he says, beware of practicing your righteousness, right? In other words, be careful of how you do it. But here's a practice of righteousness. Give. And he's saying, listen, it's not just if you give. No, no, it's when you give, because this is a practice of righteousness that every follower of Christ, that every believer, person of faith, should be involved in. And when we do this, when we give generously, this righteous activity will be satisfied in it. It will be fulfilling to us if our heart is right in our giving. I think it would be interesting to note, right, and we've selected some passages here, but if you'll look in other areas, both in 6:6 and 6:18, this whole little section here is talking about these secretive righteous activities or actions. First, it talks about prayer, and then it talks about prayer and fasting, all mixed in with this idea of giving, this stuff that doesn't necessarily need to be seen out there, but surely needs to be done, checking the condition of your heart as you search out and seek to be righteous. We should be givers. We should be generous givers. It's an act of righteousness. But the text tells us how not to give, how not to give. It says this, when you give to the needy, sow no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others, for they receive their rewards. Do you see where it says been seen in order to be seen? That's the word theonomai. Are you guys hearing a feedback, or is that just me? A little bit of a feedback? Is that better? Okay, I'm gonna stand over here for a while, okay? All right. I'm not much one from a demon in the system, but stuff needs to be heard. But it's theonomai. It's from the word we get theater. Don't do this just to be seen. Don't just do this for a show. Remember also there in verse 2, the word hypocrite, right? Hypocritus. It actually speaks of an ancient actor who would wear a mask. So when you're giving, don't sound the trumpet. Don't put on a show. Don't make this a theater act. Don't put on a mask because your heart's not right in giving. No, what you're, don't have the situation where you're just giving so that people will look at you and glorify you. There's a danger in that activity, and Jesus is warning us of this. It's also interesting, he talks about don't sound the trumpet. Now, historically, we have no record of anyone sounding a trumpet before someone's giving, and very much it could be just a figure of speech that Jesus is using here. Just like if I was in an argument with you, I might say, hey, we're locking horns. I don't have horns on my head, and you probably don't either. But we understand what we're talking about here when we talk about locking horns. But what's interesting here is this could be a figure of speech, but also in the temple, in the court of women, all around there were little treasury boxes, and they were shaped like a trumpet, like a trumpet. Now imagine, if you will, and you can see it here, and I'm not going to walk over there because it's my whatever this is going on is worse over there. But just imagine I've got a sack full of coins, and I've come into the marketplace with my assistant. And I'm a highly righteous person, I'm putting on my show, and I walk through there and I'm all pious and great. And just imagine a big bunch of pennies, coins, whatever, quarters, and imagine that just pouring into there and it just hitting off of there. Sounds like you go into the bank, right, and they're changing out your dollar bills, all this kind of stuff. And every time those things are hit, people are just looking, ooh, look at, oh, that's it, wow. Look how holy that person is. Look how spiritual, look how giving that person is. Jesus, don't do that. Don't put on the show. That's not glorifying to God. That's glorifying to you. And look, if that's what you want to do, well, your reward is yours. God looks at the heart and giving. And see, when I talk about generous giving, I'm not talking about a necessary, like an amount, because my generous may be different than your generous. Let me prove that to you by looking at the story of the widow's mite. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, it says this. And he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, right? All this kind of stuff, all this money. And a poor widow came out and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Now watch. So it's like this. It's rich people. Oh, how great they are. Oh, how holy. Then the widow comes up there, ting, ting. No one even notices but Jesus. And you don't see this a lot. I don't want to say Jesus freaked out, because that would just be weird and maybe heretical. But Jesus was so jazzed about this that he stopped what he was doing and was watching and called his disciples. So listen. So this happens, and Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put more in this offering box than anyone else, for they contribute out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put everything she had. She's given everything she's had to live on. In other words, this happens, tink, tink, Jesus is like, whoa! Dude, guys, come here. What? Come here, guys. You got to see this. Let me tell you about the faith of this woman. She, look, you've got all these people out here, all this kind of stuff, giving out their abundance. She gave everything she had, these two coins, tink, tink. But let me tell you, that's amazing. That was everything. Look at her faith. The glory that's given to God secretly in what she's done. That's amazing. That woman just impressed Jesus, the creator of the universe. That's a righteous action right there. I don't know what generous giving looks like to you, but I would love to give God glory by whatever it is that I give, that Jesus goes, "Woo, fellas, come here. You got to see this." Don't raise your hand, but are we in that category? Jesus looks at the heart. Do you want the applause of Jesus? Or do you want the applause of man? I hope we can say we want the applause of Jesus in our life. So what should we do when we give? What should we do when we give? Verse 3 tells us, when you give to the needy, do not know what your left hand or what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So when we give, let's give with our heart, and let's give humbly and discreetly or secretly. Yeah. We don't need to tell anybody what we give. That's between you and God. It really is. And how's he looking on that giving when you give? So give humbly and discreetly. Also, give in trusting God to reward you or to take care of you right now, because just a minute we're going to talk about how he's going to take care of you in heaven. But trust God to take care of you right now. Notice I didn't say make you rich, but to take care of you right now so that you can continue to be involved in giving and being involved with ministry. This is where you can turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember I told you to put your finger there? Turn over to there. So important here. So important. You guys with me? Yeah. Good stuff, man. God's word, always good. The point is this. It's Paul talking in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's, watch this, decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do not give because Pastor Thad came up here and said anything to you. Give because you truly desire to bless God and to bring him worship and to bless others in his name. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So when you give, do so humbly, discreetly, generously, in love for God and worship and his ministry and all of these things. And he's going to take care of you. He is going to take care of you so that you can continue to be involved in every good work. Matthew 6, 33, in the same chapter, it says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are the things that he's talking about being added to him? The things that we need in life. God's going to take care of you. Generous giving is a reflection of our relationship with Jesus and our hunger to be like him, to have a growing and righteous character as correlates with his worship and his glory. You guys good there? Let's go one more application passage. So look down Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, where he says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. You know what? I'm just going to read it again. I want to make sure it's fresh on our minds. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Being where this is in the section in the Bible and everything we've seen you talk about before, the first thing that I want us to understand is that storing up treasures in heaven is also a righteous practice consistent with growing in a character of righteousness. And what is giving to heaven? Simply put, giving to heaven corresponds to those things given that have eternal, heavenly, or God-glorifying consequences. Now, I can't get into all the details there because obviously we don't have all the time in the world, but hear it again. Storing up treasures in heaven is a righteous practice consistent with a growing character of righteousness. And giving to heaven corresponds to those things given that have an eternal, heavenly, or God-glorifying consequence. That's what giving to heaven can mean. Now, if we choose not to give with this ambition to be God-glorifying, to have eternal consequences, or to bless others, which of course is God-glorifying, there's some dangers there. And giving to things that are temporal or that are earthly or do not have ultimate heavenly consequences. Take, for example, the story we see in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. Talking about the guy who wanted to build bigger storehouses because God had blessed him with stuff and he thought he needed to have more stuff. So here we go. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. He should have prayed. Anyway, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. Oh my goodness. He didn't pray. I will do this. It's my stuff. So I will tear down and I will store all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? What's it for? Where's the value? Where's the investment in you just having more stuff? God has blessed you so generously. What are you doing with building these new barns and storehouses? Could it be that God would have another use for it? Let me say this, humbly and in my opinion, God does not often bless in overabundance so that you can be an earthly king or queen, but rather blesses so that you can bless others in the name of the king. I'm willing to bet this dude had some big barns. And he's got all this. And listen, there's nothing wrong with saving, being mature and responsible stewards. But just, you know, notice that language, my stuff. And I'm going to do this. I wonder what would have happened if he would have prayed, God, you have blessed me. I don't know what I would do with all this stuff. I'd be living so high on the hog, so to speak. Is that a Southern thing? Do you guys say that here? High on the hog? No? Okay. Yeah, I got one yes. Okay. You're with me. You're with me. Maybe he did that because he was trusting you to bless others in his name. Guys, maybe when he blesses us and we have more than we need, maybe that's a cue for us to say, God, I thank you for everything. Lord, maybe I don't need that bigger boat or that newer car or that bigger house. God, maybe there's a missionary that needs supported, or maybe the church isn't making its budget, or I heard about someone down my street who needs some help. Gosh. There's so many places that you could be involved with ministry and helping to meet needs. Let me say this. If you invest spiritually, and you want to be spiritually involved in the church and doing what God wants, if you invest spiritually, your spiritual involvement will come naturally. Because listen, Jesus is interested in your heart. He's interested in your heart. It says here, as we read in the text, so powerful and true, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God is worried about where your heart is, where your treasure is. Your heart doesn't need to be with you. It needs to be with him and what he cares about. It's interesting to me, I don't invest. I'm not quite there yet. Maybe I should be. But I don't invest in stocks and bonds. I don't understand it. You know, not yet. Maybe I'll learn when I grow up and become a real boy. But I have heard that once you start to invest in stocks and bonds, all of a sudden you start paying attention to stocks and bonds. When things happen, you start opening the newspaper or the computer or whatever, and you're like, oh, this is happening or that's happening, and you can get really caught up in it. Why? Because your treasure's there. You know what? I bet if we were super invested in kingdomly things and we started having certain prayer meetings and things like that, you would show up. Do you know why you would show up? Because you're invested. You're invested. Start doing different ministries, having different ministries. You know what? If you're giving to that, I'm betting you're going to show up. Was that too mean? Was that a little over the top? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Well, then again, maybe it's true. And we needed to hear it. Okay, I'm going to get off that. Let me say this. As a whole church, as far as I'm aware, you are incredibly generous. You are. We're going to meet budget this year. It's going to be awesome. It's amazing the things we've been able to do. Oh, it's just so great. We just approved a budget, 98%. And I think we jumped the budget like $60,000. And to the glory of God, we're going to meet that too. Because you're going to be faithful. I believe in you and what God's going to do in your life and what God's going to do here. So don't hear the pastor being down on you. I am way up on you, okay? Way up on you. Last thing, I've got to hurry. It says in the text here that God will reward us in heaven because we're storing up treasures in heaven. Often this is kind of used negatively because it's like, oh, but you know, your ambitions, they're kind of twisted. You're just storing up treasures in heaven. Well, here's the thing. God wired us to want to be rewarded in positive ways. Let me quickly just give you two examples. Ancient kings, when they would give a gift to someone, this luxurious gift because they've done something for them, and they give this gift, the person is blessed who gives the gift, but do you know who receives the honor? God does. When you get to heaven and Jesus rewards you, in whatever form that is, because we don't completely know, when he does that, do you know what everybody else is going to be doing? They're going to be going, oh, Jesus is awesome. He saved us. We're here. This is amazing. And then look at how generous Jesus is. Nobody's going to be looking at you. They're going to be looking at Jesus. And when you see what Jesus has for you, whatever that is, do you know what you're going to be doing? Jesus, you're amazing. It's okay to want to invest in heaven. Because it's for his glory. And everybody else is going to celebrate him, not you, when we get there. One more thing. Don't rob Jesus of the blessing of giving to you in heaven. As a daddy, do you know what? I love to give to my children and to see them enjoy it. Don't think negatively about giving eternally, right? And having Jesus give to you in heaven one day, or on new earth, new creation, what have you. Because it's going to bless his heart to do so. Don't rob that joy from our God. It's okay to be excited about God and becoming like him and giving and investing in heaven to allow him to bless you. Man, I am so over time. So I'm going to close like this. I kind of told you that this was a carrot sermon. So let's get back to those eyes, okay? Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then it switches here from talking about heart to eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now, I won't get into all of this and what the Greek text is saying there, but it's kind of like this. Many people have wondered, what in the world is that those sentences doing? That didn't even make sense. The eye and light and darkness and he's talking about a heart and then the eye? This is confusing. Let me say it a little bit more clear like this. When you come to see the connection of your hunger and thirst for righteousness and being fulfilled in it and bringing glory to God in it and allowing him to take care of you on earth and to seek treasure in heaven and to give and to be generous in such a way and being like him, when you get to the point where you see that, you'll be filled with light. Your life will change. You'll see things differently. You'll be like Jesus. Just as I said earlier, we will never reach our full potential of spirituality or sanctification without giving and being generous. We will never be like Jesus without sacrifice. Two scriptures I want to put on the screen here. Matthew 5:6 and 6:33. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled, particularly in this mindset of giving. And then Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's going to take care of you as you give, as you hunger and thirst for righteousness. One quick story. I knew this man by the name of Dave. Incredibly smart man. First in his class at the University of Illinois in engineering. Graduated, came out of the University of Illinois, Caterpillar, major Fortune 500, Fortune 50 company, snatched him right up, took him in there. Dave made a really good living going all over the world, fixing big machines and handling complex problems. But as he was nearing retirement, God got a hold of his heart. And Dave is like, man, you know what? God, you've allowed me to see and do some wonderful things, but my heart is not truly yours the way it needs to be. God, you show me anything I can do. I just want to bless you. I just want to be like you. I want to grow in righteousness. So he said he was driving by the church one day and he saw some trash out on the lawn. He pulls in the parking lot, goes out there, picks up trash. And so every week he would go to the church and just simply pick up garbage. Then he heard they were starting a yard volunteer crew that would cut the grass. And so Dave volunteered and cut the grass. Every week, consistently, he would be out there cutting grass and picking up garbage. Here is a man who is very wealthy, serving some would consider a lowly position. But he wanted Christ. He wanted righteousness. It wasn't about the show. I just want to do for you, God. So as he came right up to retirement, he said, Father, I'm going to live on my pension, but I also have this farm. I have this land. And I'm going to invest in it, God. You know what I'm going to do? Every cent you give me from this farm, I'm going to give. Matter of fact, I'm going to give to missions. So he started investing in a farm. He retired. God blessed that farming, and his farming exploded. Hundreds of thousands of dollars he made a year in farming. I'm not talking about a tractor. I'm talking about tractors. I'm talking about GPS systems on his phone so that he can watch weather patterns to get out there, plug it into his machines, and have them drive with him. Big time farming. Every cent of that in his retirement went to missions. I have been with this man in India, in the poor slums, in Africa, in Kenya, in AIDS homes and orphanages. I have literally seen him say, how much do you need? And he wrote the check to fund the orphanages. I've seen it with my own eyes. And it started with pick up trash at the church. And look at how God is using him. And listen, God continues to take care of him, drought, famine, whatever. It's not touching his farm. It keeps coming in. It's amazing. I've seen him on the way back from Africa checking that little monitor. He would drop me off at like midnight, go jump in his tractor and start plowing his fields. 1 o'clock in the morning. Because God got his heart. He wanted to be right. He wanted to serve him. He wanted to give generously. God continued to give. He went out beyond missions giving and started working in prison ministries. all of our prisons in Texas. He actually bought a vehicle because he wanted other people to help him in the prison ministry. He didn't want them to have to use their own vehicles because some of these prisons are far away. He bought a car, filled it up with NIV, Dr. David Jeremiah study Bibles so that he could give them away in the prisons. And then he bought all the material. He would go to these chaplains in the prisons and say, hey, I want to start this Bible study here. We're a little limited on resources. That's okay, we got it. God's going to take care of it. He's taking care of David now in those ministries. Man, I'm going to celebrate Jesus in heaven one day. And Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. So much, guys. Man, I want you to be everything Jesus wants you to be. And you're not going to be there. You're not going to be there unless your eyes are open to this truth. So let me pray for you. And you make the decision. Are you going to live generously and become like Jesus and be everything he has for you and to bring him glory? Or aren't you? The challenge for the day. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this message. God, it's a carrot. It's not cake. But God, we need the carrot to be healthy and to see clearly and to worship you, God. And so, Father, if there's prayer needed, Lord, I pray that they would join me in the back. But Father God, I pray as people sing, Lord Jesus, before they would stand to sing, God, they would say yes to you. Even if they don't know totally what that means for them, they would say yes to you. God, I want to live in righteousness. I want to hunger and search for this righteousness, Father God. And I know that part of that is living and giving generously. Holy Spirit, do your work and let us be changed by your word.